Okay, well, welcome to whatever date is March 15th version of our Continuum Sales Mastery Circle and housekeeping items are. If you could keep your lines muted unless you're talking, that would be great. Just because I always say this, I don't, we will hear your chicken nugget order in the McDonald's drive-thru if you don't mute your line. Share stories, experiences, give tips, ask questions, make recommendations, and tell us what you want to know. This is supposed to be interactive, not just us talking at you. It's supposed to be you talking at us. So anytime you want to chime in, you can either use the chat, which is we've been chatting. If you see that, you can use the chat, or you can unmute your line and start yelling at us to be quiet because you have something to say. Reintroductions. There you go.
Okay. I'm Dawn Fiella, and I guess we keep doing this because there's always new people. So I have been in home care for close to 20 years. That really ages me. I probably should quit saying it that way. I have worked at Home Instead Senior Care. I've also worked for an independent home care company. I've done operations. I've been in sales. I've been in marketing. I've been in recruiting. I've been in retention. Grew the last business in private pay to $3.5 million in under 4 years. So I am using all of that. Lots of mistakes through the years that you're not going to have to make because I made them for you. And so that's where my background is. Go ahead, Lisa, you're up.
I'm Lisa Marcellet. All the same things she just said, all the mistakes we've made, we're giving it all to you so you don't have to make those mistakes. I have worn all hats in home care because, like I always like to say, in home care, you just can't stay in your own lane. You've got to be all over the place. Love it. Love what you guys are doing. I'm so happy to be here with you guys. And yeah, I was in home care for like almost 15 years too. So, yeah,
That's
there it is.
old.
Yeah, we're
I'm
old.
glad to be here.
Yes.
We are young.
I'm Valerie. I am 200 years old in nurse years.
All
And I've been a registered nurse since 1992, which is close to 200 years in nurse years. And so I started this business back in 2008. We've been helping home care agencies market themselves online and in person for, my kids are 17, so that'd be the girls behind me on the wall. They're triplets, but anyway, they're 17, so we started this when they were one, so we've been in business 16 years. What a leap of faith at having 3 1-year-olds in the house.
Yeah, that's
But
awesome.
anyway, and we survived it all. I have worn all the hats that you can imagine as a nurse, from ICU to discharge planning. I've worked on the insurance side, I've worked on the hospital side, I've worked on the patient advocate side, so all those things. But these two ladies are who you want to listen to, and they are amazing with the sales stuff. And I think we can sneak in a little announcement. I don't even know if Lisa knows. Lisa, do you know?
Yes, she knows because I was having a panic attack last night.
Oh, come
Where?
on.
Yes.
Wait, do I know? Wait, what do
Yes,
I
you
know?
know. Well, you're going to hear it
Okay,
again right now.
Dawn, so I, public speaking, I used to travel and speak at all the conferences and do all that. And after the kids were getting older and the and then COVID and all that. So I kind of just, they always send out these emails, requests for proposals, and then you put in your proposal for what you want to speak about and you get selected or you don't. Well, we got selected. I haven't done it in years, but we got selected to speak at one of my very favorite conferences. So if you're in Florida or near Florida, come see us. It's the
That's so cool.
big Florida Home Care Association conference. It's huge. And of course, because they have, a huge membership there. It's in Orlando and it's in July, mid-July. So we will be speaking there, and mostly it's going to be Dawn Fiala, not me, but I'm just there for moral
Hey.
support. We're going to do a whole half day for private duty, a pre-conference half day for private duty, all sales training. So when we know more, we'll let you know. But that's a pretty big accomplishment. I'm so proud of all of us. And yeah, I submitted the proposal, but I put Dawn all over it. So
Well, she
anyway.
told me we never get it. We won't get picked. It's just a little thing. I'm just gonna throw it out
Yeah,
there.
it's no big deal. We won't get selected. I haven't done this in years. Blah, blah,
Yeah.
blah.
But here we
Oh,
are.
guess
So
what? We got the email yesterday. I was like, oh, whoops. Anyway, they're so much fun to work with. So we hope
that's that, awesome. I remember now.
If you're near there, we hope that you come see us. All right. So I'll keep going here. Home Care Sales Forum. If you haven't logged in there, you go to homecaresalesforum.com. Your email address, the one that we send you all of the announcements to, that's the one you want to log in with. And then if you don't know your password, you need to just use the forgot password feature and log in and see all the conversations. Yep. That's what I got there. Is there more slides? Oh, and then when you're in there, you can see all of us talking, blah, blah, blah. You see my face there because I'm logged in as me talking to people. But if you click on learning in the top middle there, then you'll get to see all the videos of the past trainings that we've done this year. So of the past meetings we've had. So
like, anyway, it looks like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks like that. You just click on the one you want. And we have them done through, well, this one will be posted in the next couple of days, probably over the weekend. But anything we've done since January is in there. You can watch it, get all the handouts, get all the things. I highly recommend reviewing.
Yes. Okay. So today we're going to cover booking ratios. So you're taking a service inquiry over the phone. We want to get more booked than not. So we're going to talk about how to increase that booking ratio. We're going to talk about how to increase your signed jobs ratio when you're out there in the home signing somebody. Booking ratio should be sitting at like 75-ish%, signed job ratio more in the 90s. So we're going to talk about how to do that. We're going to talk about marketing, community liaison, salary, and commission structure. And then Lisa's going to show you all of her beautiful leave behinds for March, April, May, and June. She's been very busy with all of those. All right. So this is an overview of service inquiry booking and getting it increased. It's kind of an overview. We're going to dig in a little bit. These are some of the key things, though. You always, always need to take those calls live. Even on the weekend, your main line should roll to your on-call cell phone person, whoever is going to be doing that. They are taking calls from caregivers anyway, right? There's call-offs, there's clients, there's things going on anyway. They should be able to also take these calls live. Taking them live, you know, and getting them booked live is just, they're not going to call anybody else. They've talked to you and there's no reason to call anybody else. So please, as much as you can, try to take those live. Leads that come in via email, call, text, and email them back immediately as soon as you get it. And I say all three modes of communication because what is their mode? What is their favorite mode? Most are going to want to text you. They're pretty good at that. So do all three when a lead comes in via email from your website or agingcare.com or something like that. Place yourself as the expert right in the beginning of the call, and we're going to talk about that. Connect emotionally with the caller. We're going to talk about that. Get the potential client's name. The goal is to book the assessment, not to sign the job. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. You got to have one goal while you're on the phone with them. And then find out who's going to be at the assessment if you can. And then get more details. You know, if you're going into a home and somebody, they've told you mom is forgetful or has Alzheimer's dementia, you're going to want to get as much information about that over the phone. Usually I say get it booked and then wait for the assessment to tell them all the things. But if there's somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia, it can be really uncomfortable to be asking, you know, well, does she remember this? Does she remember that? Or how do I redirect her when she's sitting right there in the room? So that is the only circumstance where you're going to spend a little more time on the phone and get more detail, because you don't want to have to ask those questions in front of the person. It's just very uncomfortable. All right, moving on. And again, if you have questions, the chat, and Lisa, you can let me know if there's like questions up there too, because sometimes you guys are just talking and that's great too. All right. So I know this slide is very, very full. The idea, though, you're not supposed to do this. I know that when I present, and I won't do this in Florida, I promise, Valerie. But the reason it's so big and full is because you're going to get the PDF of this, and I want you to have this, all of this information. So your only goal objective when you're on a service inquiry is to book them for an assessment. That's it. If you get too far ahead in your mind, oh, I want to sign them, we need this, it's a 24, and you're just doing all of that, there's no reason to have an assessment because you've done everything over the phone. So the only goal, and it takes the pressure and the heat off too. The goal, just get them booked for an assessment. That's it. You're not trying to sell your services. You're not answering all their questions about everything. You aren't conducting the assessment. If you give them too much information, they'll be like, well, I'll call you. I'll talk to my mom about all this. You need to leave them hanging for something so that they will meet with you. Connect emotionally. I've always called this the 10-second connect. It doesn't have to happen in 10 seconds, but it can. Many times when they call you, they're going to just, because they're in crisis. They're just going to hear the whole story of what's happening. Usually something bad has happened. This is their mom. This is their dad. They've been in charge. They've guided them through life. And now they are coming back and saying, I need my child's help now. And then the adult child doesn't know what to do. And so it'll be a quick, something happened. And so you can grab onto whatever that is and connect with them emotionally. This is the first time they've been through this. They need you to take over. They need to know you can handle this and you can fix this for them. They want to just take the whole problem and hand it to you and know that you're going to take their hand and you're just going to walk them through this. That's what they're looking for. You may have taken several calls through the years, thousands maybe, but they are overwhelmed, worried, and hopeless, and it's their first call. You really have to stop what you're doing. And this is hard in home care. Like Lisa said, we wear a million hats all day long. And I might be on a service inquiry and also wrapping up, some client binders so I can get out in the field and sign. They need your 100% focus. If you're going to book them, you need 100% focus. So quiet your mind and give them 100% focus. So we're going to go through this example here on the right.
Just really quickly, someone just asked, how do you handle those that ask and insist on getting a rate? And I mean, my response is give them the range. I mean, that's what they're asking for.
I think that's the next slide. Yes. You for pricing. So we'll get into that because I know that is, and of course that's where your head went because they do, but I just want to know pricing. So we'll get into that. So to connect with them emotionally, you've said, this is Dawn with Approved Senior Network. How can I help you? My mom fell and broke her hip 2 weeks ago. It is okay to jump in and sort of interrupt to connect with them emotionally. I'm so sorry to hear this. That can be difficult for everyone involved. You just connected emotionally and you established yourself as someone who's been through this before. And now you're in charge of the conversation and you've placed yourself as the expert. All in just one little sentence. That's why the slide is full. So you have the sentence. So that's the key. Connect with them emotionally and place yourself as the expert. The way you can do this too, let them finish their story and tell you all the things. Typically in this situation, or I find when this happens, when you use words like that, they know this isn't your first rodeo. They're willing to accept you as the authority. They're willing to take your hand and let you guide them through. The trust is building, the expertise is building. Start gathering information. Where is your mom now? If she told you she's discharging from a SNF or from somewhere, hospital, in these cases, it's best if I come to the facility and meet with her so that we can get care set in place before she discharges. Sometimes they discharge before, before they're told they're going to discharge. This person trusts you now, you've connected emotionally, and those are the two things that have to happen to get that assessment booked. So that's how a sample call could go. Book for as soon as possible. Don't wait around. Get them to, I don't care if your day is planned out. I'm going to all these stops. I'm out marketing. This is what I'm going to do today. It has all changed now. I will be in your area later today. Maybe you weren't going to be, but now you're going to be, right? Does 3 p.m. work for you? Don't let too much time go by. If the adult child can't meet today, offer to go see the mom if she isn't a SNP. I can go meet with your mom today. I want to meet you too. That's going to be important, but we need to get started on this in case the discharge happens before we've been told. Usually they're totally fine with that. They're happy with that. That gives you an opportunity to meet with a social worker as well. So try to get the appointment booked for the same day if you can. If they can't, they can't, and that's okay. But the sooner the better. Most of them want to get this handled. Most of them want this figured out and they want a solution started. Plus, if you book for right now for today, anyone else that they may have called, any other brochure that they were given, any other website, home care company that they saw that they were planning on calling, there's no point in them calling now. They have an appointment booked with you. That's another reason to get them booked today. Any questions about that? Nope. We're good. Okay. So how do you book leads that come in through your website or caring.com or agingcare.com? You need to be the first to reach out to them. I know it's frustrating because they've given this client senior's name and number to 5 other home care agencies. If you're last to call, middle to call, they're very frustrated. Oh my, 100 phone call. So it's important to be the first one to reach out. So when that lead comes in, yes,
Valerie. Dawn, your
mic voice turned got off.
Quiet.
My mic turned off. Oh, is it okay now?
No, it's really low.
It's like you're not connected. I can hear you, but you're far, far away.
Weird. I haven't changed anything.
Okay, let me check.
I didn't do anything. Maybe it's my Wi-Fi. I don't know.
And there are a few questions when you get to the end of the slide. Sorry to interrupt your
wife. Okay, no, that's okay. Wave at me again if it goes out.
Okay.
So leads, you must be the first to reach out as soon as the lead comes in. Of course, if it's 3 a.m, you're not going to call them. But if it's 2 o'clock on a Sunday or Saturday, that means they just filled the form out. And so you have to be first to get back to them. Call, text, and email. All the same. Do all of those things every time as soon as the lead comes in. The text works most of the time for me. When you text them, call them, leave them a voicemail, email them, establish yourself as the expert, right? And tell them you're going to be a great resource. You're a great resource for people going through this. So that's how I do that. I will say to them, I'm sorry that your mom fell and broke her hip. Usually you get some information. Your website lead form should give you some information about what's going on with this person. Agingcare.com, you should have some idea of what's going on. I reference that and I do that. Typically in this situation, this is what happens. I'm a great resource for people going through this. Those kinds of things get them to call you back, right? And so text that, call them and leave a voicemail about that and email them. Let's go ahead and answer questions and then I'll get into pushing you for pricing.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, that one was one. Okay. I'm new to the industry and came from a company that I would never focus on price first. I would sell them on the benefit. What is the number one objection that prospects may have?
Well, really what I see is the adult child, children mostly want this. The objection comes from their parent. And typically you're tag teaming with the adult child to get the parent to do this. That's typically what I find. Pricing is going to probably be an objection. It can be, and you can work within their budget. I've always said, if they're very price conscious, well, what can you afford a month? How much can you afford a month? And then they say, I don't know, $600, $1,000, whatever it is. And then you build a schedule around that. Price probably is the biggest objection. For the seniors, it can be too. For them more, it's about privacy, someone coming in their home, telling them what to do. I don't need somebody in my house telling me what to do. I'm a grown man. I mean, I've sat in these rooms. The adult child, though, needs them to have this help. They want their children to take care of them. And that's not going to happen. There isn't time for their children to take care of them. They're busy. They're working. They have kids of their own. So that's what they want. And so you have to, usually I tag team with the adult child to get that senior to allow us to do this and try it. Just try it. That's sometimes how you have to do it. Give us 2 weeks, because that might be all they're willing to do. And hopefully it goes well and then they're cool with it. Any other questions beside the pricing one?
Another person said that they did a lunch and learn at Abrazo West. And one of the nurse case managers said, wow, your rates are too high.
Okay. Abrazo West, that's here, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was like, I've been to Abrazo West.
Who is that?
Which one? Kim.
Oh, great. Great. The case manager said the prices were too high?
Yes.
So usually they don't always know the prices. And so did you leave prices? I don't usually leave prices. If they ask about pricing, I would ask her, well, what prices are you seeing? Right. I would try to find out where she's getting lower rates from. And people will do a range too. So I've always done a range in my pricing. I've never given anyone like the one amount, one line item, I give them a range. And ranges can, I mean, our ranges were probably like a $5 spread per hour. And so, you know, when they hear the bottom one, that helps them go, okay, you're not that expensive because it's a range. So I'm not sure if that helps, because I don't know like the whole situation.
Right.
But I would then to call around and your competitors and find out what they're charging. Also, I mean, you just star 6-7, pretend to be an adult child, get their pricing, right? And push them for pricing.
And also, I mean, is their expectation, where are they getting the expectation from of what the price should be? You know,
exactly.
Get into the weeds, like, you know, my caregivers, you know, I want to give them a living wage plus this and this. I mean, if you get into the weeds about it, I mean, what are they expecting?
Yeah. And why does she think it's high? Does she just think it's high in her mind? Like, I couldn't afford to do that. Is that why she thinks it's high? Or because other companies are telling her a lower price? That's a good point, Lisa, because when case managers and social workers look at our pricing, they're thinking, darn, that's how I couldn't afford that. But they're not, you know, they have a house payment, they have a car payment, they have lots and lots of, we have all of that. Seniors typically don't have that. So, you know, they really shouldn't get into the pricing conversation, the case managers, social workers with the client, the seniors. I have tried to avoid that for years. Most of them don't want, Valerie will tell you, they don't want to have the conversation about what this costs with the senior and family. They want us to do that. So, I'm surprised that she would say that, but we need to kind of know where that came from.
Yeah,
okay. So pushing for pricing, try not to give any pricing, continue to direct them to booking the assessment. So they'll say, well, how much does this cost? Well, I really need to come into your home. I need to meet with your mom. I need to see, you know, exactly what's going to be required for the care. I need to lay eyes on mom, dad to be able to give you pricing. So we don't give out rates over the phone because we want to be able to give you the best price we can. And we have more information when we're able to assess the situation. I'll be in your area later today and can do the assessment then. Does that work for you? The assessment is free. That helps with people who are price conscious too. If they continue to push, always give a range, never a single rate. Let them know you need to conduct the assessment to give them the correct rate, but it usually ranges from. So give them that gap, that range. You should be casing your competitors. Here we go. At least quarterly, *6-7, call them. What are they doing? What are they saying? Do they have special pricing packages? Do they have a limited or an hour, you know, minimum hours? Are you competitive? Are you the cheapest? Is it time for you to raise your prices? Sidebar, you should also be casing your competitors on the caregiver side of your business at least quarterly too. How much are they paying? Are they giving bonuses? What usually prompts me to call my competitors about pricing is caregivers come in and say, gosh, this company's paying a dollar more an hour than you. Why aren't you paying more? And then I call that company as an adult child and I find out they're charging more than I am. That's how I usually find out that my rates aren't in line, because the caregivers will come in and they're getting paid more at other companies. So that kind of spurs that. But if you can put in your calendar quarterly to do both, you know, you won't be caught off guard. Any other questions? Valerie.
I see. Am I muted?
No, you're not muted.
Okay, good. I see one that says, I went to a network. Did you already do this? A network group yesterday and met a reverse mortgage agent who said that if they can't afford the price to mention to her about reverse mortgages, is that appropriate? I'd like to answer that. About reverse mortgages. Now, from a sales perspective, you all have more ideas on that than I do. But from a reverse mortgage perspective, I have mixed feelings about that. We have long-term care insurance agents and reverse mortgage agents or loan officers who are constantly asking me if we will do educational presentations for home care agencies about financial options like long-term care insurance or reverse mortgages. Long-term care insurance is no longer an option once you need home care. You can't buy it if you already need it, but the adult children could potentially purchase it. And reverse mortgages are not, it sounds scary and they know they get a bad rap, but you are not responsible for educating a client on a reverse mortgage. But if you have a trusted person in your life that you can hand a business card to them and say, you know, this guy's really helped a lot of seniors be able to afford home care with using a reverse mortgage. There's so many requirements in order to get a reverse mortgage. You have to be over 65. You have to own their home. The kids have to know what's going to happen once that person passes away or leaves the home permanently. There's all kinds of caveats to that. I will say in hindsight, a reverse mortgage that was taken out on my mother-in-law's home to help her with some basement repairs that were in, on order of $27,000. She spent the money on the repairs. And then she didn't use all the equity that she had available to her for that. And then later in her life, when she needed assisted living, we paid privately for assisted living with the remainder of the funds from that reverse mortgage. Now, none of the kids wanted the house. None of the kids were worried about what was going to happen to the house. Nobody wanted it. So it was okay to let it go. And we didn't, or buy, or one of the kids could have bought it outright. But I'm saying it is a possibility and it is an option. Just make sure you trust the person that you're handing the business, that you're handing out their business card. It did help my mother-in-law pay privately for assisted living until she couldn't live there anymore. And then she went to a nursing home.
Yeah. I've had about three 24-hour clients use reverse mortgages in my time. And I did have a reverse mortgage person that I trusted to do that. And again, Valerie's right. The kids all have to be aware of this because it's taking the equity out of the home. And some children aren't going to be okay with that, but if they don't have the money for home care or assisted living or whatever it is, it can be a good solution. I agree with you, Valerie.
Mm-hmm. And some people totally are against. I see Nikki says, as a banker, I would never morally suggest a reverse mortgage. It really depends on your experience with them, what has happened. A lot of people get screwed over. I don't know if it's intentional or just communication, but there's so many federal regulations now about reverse mortgages that it is not an easy process. So while it is possible, it's something that you need to make, you are not responsible for any of that, but to recommend a trusted person that you know has done a good job for other people is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
It is definitely controversial. So I understand her point too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Do your research for sure. Okay. So now you're going out to the assessment. You want to get this job signed. I've added some things here that, aren't about how you get it signed, but I think important. Park a house or two away. Do not park in the driveway ever because your car could leak oil and they get very upset about that. Also, I would not park in front of the house. They will come out to say hi. I've gotten there early thinking, I'll make these three phone calls that I have to make. These people kept leaving me voicemails. They will come right up to your car and knock on the window. Are you Dawn? Oh, we're ready for you. Come on in. And if you could be a half hour before the assessment was supposed to happen. So park down the street a ways so that they don't know that you're there, especially if your car is a mess and you're trying to get organized, because they'll come right into the car. So dress business casual or in scrubs. Read the room. Who wants home care and who doesn't? Sometimes it's a split when you walk in that room. There could be three, four children there. And mom fell and they're all in town and half of them want the care and half of them don't. You need to read the room. So you're directing your conversation appropriately to the people who want it, who don't want it. Ask permission to sit. Don't just assume they want you to sit here right when you walk in the door. Where would you like me to sit for me to sit while I gather information? Because you're going to need a table probably, or I've always brought like a clipboard or something hard because you don't always have a table. You it could be your lap sometimes, or you're sharing the table with a kitty cat that wants to be all in your face. I've been through lots and lots of these. Ask permission to sit. Review the intake call that you had. Talk about, take them back, because not everybody in the room maybe was on the phone call, right? Only one person was probably on the call. This could be a great way to grab the people who don't want the care. Usually it's the senior for sure that doesn't want the care. And anybody else in the room that you're feeling maybe doesn't want the care, arms are crossed. They're just not for this, right? Review the call that you had, review the expertise that you have, review everything that you remember about the call, all the notes that you took, so that everybody's on the same page, everybody, as if they all were in that phone conversation. Reestablish yourself as the expert. That's what you're doing while you're reviewing everything. If you don't know yet what has happened or is happening to prompt this assessment, looking for home care, talk about that now. What prompted you to reach out to us? What's going on? You know, you're going to need that. And a lot of what they're going to tell you, you're going to latch onto so that you can get this job signed. You know, if they fell in the shower, well, we don't want that to happen again. So you need a caregiver for your showers because we don't want that to happen again. So whatever they're going to tell you, whatever you learned over the phone call, you're going to use that to help you get this job signed. All right. Now they are expecting you to tell them what to do at this point. You've gathered all the information. You know they're a transfer assist. You know they need a shower. You know all the things, right? Now in your mind, you're gathering. They are expecting for you to come up with what is your suggestion for home care. They're not going to come right out and say it, but that's what they want. They want to know how many hours, how many days a week. You're the expert. What do you recommend that they, what kind of care do they need? How many hours a week? Whatever. So think about their needs. Be practical and situational about this. Can they be alone during the day or overnight? When did the fall happen? Did it happen in the middle of the night because she got up to go to the bathroom? Okay, then she probably can't be alone overnight anymore unless it was a med or something that caused her to fall. Do they need transfer assistance? If they need transfer assistance, they're probably going to need somebody here because of that. Do they need bathing? If bathing, it's a minimum of two to three days a week. I know we want everyone to shower every day, but we all know that's not realistic in senior care. So they're just not going to do it. What else can be done to extend that bathing shift to a longer shift? You know, when's the trash going out? Who's taking the trash out to the curb? Do they have a walker? How in the world are they getting the trash out in the trash can and out on the driveway? So you have to be thinking about kind of investigative, right? You've got to be thinking about all of that. Consider everything. Are there budget constrictions? Is there family there that can help, or a spouse or a neighbor or a friend that can help with things, the trash maybe? I mean, we want to sign the job. We want good hours, but we also need to stay within their budget. So asking for them to sign, asking for the business, it's fair. It's just a very smooth transition. Based on the assessment, Mary, if you're talking to Mary, you know, or her children, you, Mary, or you, needs at least 3 days of care a week for bathing. We have a 3-hour minimum. The bathing will take about an hour, could take longer depending on Mary. While here, we can also do laundry, like housekeeping, grocery shopping, take the trash out of the curb, prepare some meals. So you're letting them know, you know, what your recommendation is. And here's another one for John. John, you know, he needs someone with him overnight. There has already been a fall and we don't want it to happen again. Confusion sets in at night and fall risks really increase. We can do 12-hour wake shifts so we can be there when needed. We can get him ready for bed, maybe do some tidying up before bed. People rarely sleep more than 8 hours. There will be some time in the morning too for us to make breakfast, assist with bathing and med reminders, and get out of your hair for the rest of the day, John. We'll just be here until the 12-hour shift's over and then you're on your own. We'll get you ready for the day and we're out of your hair, because that's what John wants. He doesn't want us there all day. So here's the natural transition to the agreement. I heard the other day, I was talking to somebody and she said, oh my goodness, my counterpart at my company, there's two marketers at their company. She told me she just leaves a service agreement with them and calls them and asks them later, you know, well, what do you think? Don't do that. Like, get it out. Let's get this done. Close the deal. In order to get services started, there's a quick service agreement that needs to be signed. I have it here with me. It will take us up to 48 hours to find the perfect caregiver. So I would recommend we get the agreement done now so we can start looking for that caregiver. We may find someone sooner, but at least if you sign today, we can start care at the latest on Friday evening. It's just a very smooth, don't get nervous about it. Bring it out. They need the help. You're there for a reason. All right. That's how it's done. And I think, oh, the salary. Maybe this is why lots of people here today. Community liaison salary and commission structure. I just want to say before we get into this, this is not the same probably nationwide. This is in Arizona. I was with larger company. Like, I don't want community liaison going, oh, I should get this. I need this. Because this is one scenario. This is one way that it can work. It was a larger company, but I do feel like what we're going to talk about, tying things to billing and that kind of thing, is a good idea. Doesn't mean it has to happen this way. We've been having a lot of people ask us this question, and so we wanted to talk about it, but I also don't want for people to be, you know, I want it this way. So just know that I've seen lots of different structures, but this one worked the best for me and where I've ever worked. So your community liaison, your goal, right? your goal in the company is client billing retention. We don't want people to come and leave and come and leave, right? And so your community liaison has sales ability. It's best to have them sign your clients. Referral sources prefer this as well. They trust your community liaison and they want for their patients and residents to work with your community liaison. So first of all, it makes a lot of sense to have your community liaison also sign your jobs. They have sales ability. A relationship has begun with the client and their family members. They sign for services in part, and it can be a big part, because of your community liaison. They latched onto this person. Why did they latch onto this person? Because of all the things we just talked about. Emotional connection, expert, all the things we just talked about. They tag teamed with the adult child to get mom and dad to sign. Mom and dad like this person, right? And so why not keep this person involved at some level? It makes sense to keep your community liaison tied to this client in some way. So if there is an issue with a client because a caregiver was late, mom and dad aren't accepting the new caregiver that was just brought on, almost any issue at all, it makes sense to pull your community liaison back into the picture because there is trust there. Enough trust that they sign an agreement. The client and their family want to see the community liaison also take responsibility for what's going on. Many times the client will listen to the community liaison over their own children. I've had them do that. My mom won't talk to me about this unless you come back and sit down with us. I don't know how many times that's happened. They just trust that person. So you want to keep that community liaison involved at some level. So once the job is signed, though, I can't stress this enough, the community liaison does need to pass the baton over to scheduling and staffing. They can't be involved in the call-offs. They can't be involved in all of the things that are going on. My mom doesn't need transfer assistance anymore, or she'd rather switch the schedule from Saturday to Sunday. The community liaison needs to be out marketing. They cannot be involved in that. They have to pass the baton to scheduling or staffing. So they tell the family, I'm not going anywhere. You will always be able to reach me, but your point of contact now is Susie. She is your scheduler. She is your staffer. Here is her phone number. We have to do that, right? That has to happen. So I just don't want that to be get confused. So they have to pass the baton. How do you keep the community liaison tied to this client, though, with ongoing? How do you do it? You do it with ongoing commission. That's how you do it. We want them to get involved again when it starts to go south, even before it starts to go south. That the caregiver has been late 3 days in a row and nobody's really said anything. We know somebody could be upset about it. Not a bad idea to have that community liaison call and just say, how are things going, before they quit, before they're upset. So you tie them to the client with ongoing commission. To obtain this goal, commission should be a percent of billing. The higher the billing, the higher the commission, right? If I'm getting 5% of $1,000 a month versus 5% of $3,000 a month, my commission is higher, right? And with the higher billing clients, we need to keep. Your community liaison will be more incentivized to help you save and keep the bigger clients or any of the clients if they're still getting commission on those clients. My community liaisons would actually bring flowers by or just stop in and visit their 24-hour clients every week to every couple weeks, checking in on the caregivers too, to make sure the caregiver was doing their job, because it was such big commission for them and they didn't want to lose that commission. We also don't want to lose the client. So this is how it worked for us. And again, this is Arizona. I have no idea what salary would be in other parts of the country. Our salespeople had some sales experience when we hired them. One of them had worked in assisted living. I've had others that have worked in home care. I've had others that had sold furniture. They all had some sales ability when they came. So that's part of the salary. So a reasonable salary, you don't want to be too high. They should be earning a good portion of their income through commission. So the salary really depends on your state. You may need to ask around to find out a fair salary. In Arizona, a reasonable salary for this position is around $60,000, $65,000. Okay, that's what we paid. And these people were used to making much more than that. But I said, well, you're going to have commission. So that's going to be up to you, you know. And we, you know, in one company I worked for, we were very well known. They were going to come in and just take over our current territory and get commissions. Other places where I have worked, we'd never even worked that territory yet, and they were going to have to really build it from ground up. So based on that, you know, the salary, that's why the 60 to 65. Commission, 3 to 5% of billing for each client that they sign. They receive this commission for the first year this client is with you. You need to figure out what works with your margins, though. It could be lower. It could be higher than this. If you want to continue to pay after the first year, the commission, you can lower it to 1% or another lower percentage. So that's what we did. So if I signed Joan and she was 3 hours a week and it was this month, you know, maybe the billing's $1,000, I would get 3 to 5% of that $1,000 ongoing for a year every time we billed them. So I got paid once a month. I got a commission check, and it would be 3 to 5% of what all the clients that I have signed. And I would get that commission for the whole first year they were with us. After a year, if they're still with us, it dropped down to 1%. And so the idea is to tie your client, your community liaison commission structure to client retention, and it works. So that's how we did it. We have any questions, Lisa?
I don't see any about commission, okay. But there was one here. It's just about finding a caregiver. She's always concerned about finding a caregiver. Do you have the client sign? I think this went back to the when you were having the client sign. But do you have the client sign, and then you find someone within 48 hours? I mean, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you do have to kind of do that. So when you're on the service inquiry, you'll get good at knowing, okay, this one's going to need care right away. If I don't sign this one while I'm sitting there, it's never going to sign. Like, you get good at knowing that before you even go to the home. And so you get the basic criteria of what your scheduler is going to need. And you tell them, I'm going to Mesa today. This is the situation. Do you have a caregiver out there, first of all? And what hours is she open? I mean, you could work it from the other side, right? And convince the client, hey, I've got a wonderful caregiver. She can work these days and these hours. What do you think? She's perfect. You're going to love her. You could work it backwards too. I've done that many times, but give your schedulers a heads up. Ask them if they have anybody in that area already that would want to do this, has any open hours, and try to build the schedule around the caregiver's availability. I've also done that. That's another idea.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But one more question on commission. Would the commission be different if a short-term case, short-term case to motivate the salesperson to take short-term cases versus long-term?
I guess I'm not.
Would you change the structure around? So say that client.
No. So if they were only there 2 weeks, they get the 3 to 5% that 2 weeks, and then it disappears when the client leaves. Did I answer it?
Say it again. Yes. I said yes.
Okay. All right. So they just
trying to read and understand at the same time.
And it can be your, you know, it can be whatever percent you want, but tying it, you know, we would get the community liaisons involved all the time. You know, caregiver, they won't accept this new caregiver. I actually had to go out to the home several times with the caregiver to just like figure this out. And if you know they're going to be picky like that, it may not be a bad idea to go out and intro anyway. You know your families. Because they all do eventually start fitting in boxes, right? That, you know, you've got your drill sergeant, go do this, go do that. You have some, don't talk to me unless I talk to you. I mean, they all do kind of fit into categories. And eventually you start, oh, she's going to be like Mrs. Smith. If a new caregiver is going to go into that home, you tell your schedule, I'm going to have to intro them. It will never fly. So you do start to learn that ahead of time. Okay, I just wanted to share real quick because we are getting low on time, are we not? Oh, we are. Okay, the forum. Please start going into the forum. Lots of great stuff going in on the forum. People are asking some great questions. You can go in there at any time, ask your questions, and we will answer them. Here's some more. Marketing hospice, how does that go? Here's the question about commission. So we went ahead and put it into our meeting today. We had Dietra. She went out. She created that discharge package. She went to 3 SNFs or two referrals. She went and visited 3 SNFs and got 2 referrals from this discharge package handout. If you don't know what this is, go back a couple of sessions and you will see it. Lisa's pinch protection at work. He made these and attached them to hair accessories. Super smart.
So cute. Yeah, so cute.
Yes. And Nikki did discharge package. She shared that looks great. She even has a URL or a code here, QR code. Kaysen shared her pinch protection at a social worker and case manager event. They loved the bags. So lots of stuff going on. You will see all of this in the forum. You got to get in there and participate, and you're missing out if you don't. Lisa, you're up. I'm so sorry. It's late.
Okay. We'll go quick. I wore green, even though it's not the day, but you know, I wanted to represent, didn't want to get pinched. So March, Social Worker Month, please get out there. And we have two different versions here. Just really quickly, if you go into Canva or into the Google link, you can change out the name if you have a social worker that you love and want to just call out by name here. Or you can just leave it kind of random to any new social workers that you're talking to when you're going out to SNFs. And then we have something to add here. These little baggies and keychains, I just thought they were really cute. They say, thank you. May you be proud of the work you do, the person you are, and the difference you make. Perfect for Social Worker Month, I feel like. Take this. You can add anything else to this little baggie that you want. Make sure that your information is attached. You can actually pop a little hole in the handout there and, you know, guide the top of the bag, the little ribbon it through and attach it and make it really cute. And yeah. Drop those off everywhere you go. It's like trick or treating. Pinch protection. I love it. And I'm so glad everyone has loved it too. So
I love it too.
You just want to go out and let them know, you know, the idea is to just have a different, you know, not a theme necessarily, but a different idea for each thing. Let them know that you're doing all of these things, right? So if you're in a pinch, you're in luck because we'll get your last minute discharges home safe today. You want people to know that that's what you can do. You know, they can call you today and you'll be out there in a few hours. And then add, you know, a little pinch protection gear. You can add little hair things who was that again? It was JJ.
Yay.
And I don't mm-hmm. hear today. JJ added some hair stuff. You could add these cool little beaded necklaces. They're pretty cheap. And then, you know, at the end of the rainbow, there's, you know, some rainbow coins. You yes. can have any little things like that, but just to have something to, give off. What is this? Does it look like there would be a conversation? Okay. Spring it into action. I just thought this little chick was so cute. So I had to lose him for something. Mm-hmm. But you know, you want them to know that, you know, hey, look at, we provide hourly and around the clock care, and we are ready to spring into action for you. All your home care needs, we will get the job done. You can, you know, customize any of these, take out our logo, obviously, and our information. But Canva link, Google link there to edit. And what was this stuff? Oh, also wanted to talk about Easter and hopping into spring. You know, be careful. Look at the languages where you're going into. If they are celebrating Easter, then go ahead and use Easter. If they are celebrating spring, then you want to be mindful of that as well. And, you know, just take this out with something cool. I'm going to call Susan out really fast. But she, Susan, I think she's in this class.
Yeah,
she
did her.
She did it really cute. She said she sat all weekend in front of the Bachelor and did about 150 with some chocolate eggs and things. Really cute. And hopefully she'll be hopping into spring to some social workers there.
Great job, Susan.
Yeah, they were really cute. Okay, the April leave behind. This you're going to hand out now and in April to get a face-to-face in May. And this is all about Older Americans Month. You're just going to bring out some large print books, you know, crossword puzzles and word finds and word searches and things like that. And let them know that you're bringing these out. You're going to slap your sticker all over those on the outside somewhere so that people know who you are and who they need to call and who sponsored this nice little gift here. And you don't want to overcommit. You do want you do want the people to, you know, the social workers to give you a call, or you know, maybe executive directors or someone at a AL or what have you. But you want them to call and get you to come in. You know where you're going to go and have them kind of register with you, I guess.
So the idea is to just take this one sheet out now, telling them that you're going to be coming in May with these books. And again, don't overcommit because. You have to pick your places and how many books you can bring each place. But they're going to love this. Yeah, it'll be a fun one. And you could do assisted living, independent living, SNFs, all kinds of different places with this. Just don't overcommit because they're going to expect those books.
Even as senior centers. I think someone mentioned that last week.
Yeah, that's a good idea too.
Okay, so another April leave behind here. It's World Parkinson's Day on the 11th. And this message here is, you know, home care can make a significant difference in managing the symptoms and improving quality of life for those living with Parkinson's, maybe like mobility issues and things like that. So you want to, you know, take this out to anywhere that you think that will benefit. So they know, you know, what Parkinson's is too, and that your caregivers are very skilled in that arena. It's OT therapy month as well, or occupational therapy month as well. This is kind of like their little theme colors here, this slate blue and that brown. So I just thought it would tie in really nicely. I don't know how many people know that or need to, but I just thought it was nice, and you'd be able to take that out to your OT folks. And I kind of wanted to, oh yeah, go ahead. I guess go ahead.
Okay.
We want a vitamin C, you stay healthy. Back in the day, I used to take just little baggies to the nurse's station. This is a long time ago when you could just frolic in the hospitals. But I used to take just the baggies of Halos or Cuties and say this exact thing to them, and they just loved it, and it was great. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to put this into a little handout too, so you could take that out and just let them know that, you know, it's just another reason to come and see them. But it's also National Vitamin C Day on the 4th of April. So you can tag that too. This April leave behind here, you can see I kind of put the little OT thank you month there, or celebration there. But I was thinking, like, what could we do? It's a little more high end, right? These insulated reusable lunch bags, but man, they're all over the place, you know? And so I thought that this would be really nice. A lot of the time I remember being out and about as a marketer, just not being able to eat, to use restroom, any of that. So I thought maybe we could give them something they can reuse. They'll have their lunch with them because they're going out, you know, they could be at schools, they could be anywhere. So just wanted to kind of tie that in with that. And then these little motivational silicones.
Oops, see those there.
I just thought the colors were nice and the message really spoke to OT. This would go more for the vitamin C. And I have a couple of kind of like repeats where if you bought a ton of water, we could use them for other things too. And,
yes, you do have some good ideas. They're coming. Yeah.
Oops. So now in May, you're going to take this. It's a full sheet here. You're going to take this out with your books to whomever you spoke with and kind of registered with. You want to make sure that you know, print out your logo, your contact information on a sticker and put it on the outside of the book somewhere so they know, you know, who this is coming from. And then take your books, you know, 5, maybe 10 books to each place and have this kind of stacked on top of the books as you're handing it out and talking with your social worker. And they'll need to, you know, decide who they're going to give them to and what's going to happen with this. But also, you know, Older Americans Month, the theme this year is powered by connection and how, you know, social connections and meaningful relationships help with overall health and well-being. So let them know that your staff will help them, you know, just a little bit of time being with someone can really help with that. They're not lonely. They're not isolating themselves. They can even take them out. Mother's Day. Boom. Anyone who you think you want to take this out to, be a really nice little happy Mother's Day celebration. And, you know, I was like, gosh, I wanted to do something different. I really liked these flowers. They actually change color in the sun or maybe in the light. But, you know, just take something cool out. A couple of different things, little mini canvases, some paint. I don't know. I was just trying to think a little differently, you know, because if you stand out, you know, you stand out. Nurses Week, yay, May 6th and May 12th. You know, thank you for making all the difference. And you want to let them know, anyone that you're talking to, that your caregivers can provide 24/7 care, getting folks home, and all the ways that you can help. You know, limited mobility, anyone who's at higher risk for falls and needs bedside sitting, that you're there to help them with those things. You know, maybe you're in like a long-term area where, you know, bedside sitting would be a wonderful break-in for you. I feel like there's so many and I'm trying to go fast because I don't want to run out of time.
You're doing good, Lisa. You're doing real good.
Okay. I feel like this could go, this page could go with Mother's Day. It could go with Nurses Week. It could go with anything. I mean, who wouldn't like to relieve their stress and have some shower steamers? I mean, come on.
Right.
And then these pens, you know, nurses love pens.
They love these retractable. They like pull out and they write and it snaps back. They love these. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. OT, I'm sure they would love them too. And then these little lotions. How many times have I used so much hand sanitizer that my hands are so dry and I need lotion at my desk? So mm-hmm. I think these are perfect for any handouts, really.
Yep.
All right. Protect your skin. It is, what was this one again? Oh, it was skin cancer awareness in May. And so, you know, just apply sunscreen and just, we want you to take care of yourselves and take care of your skin. Don't get too much sun. Get a little bit of a vitamin D, but not too much. And you could take this out and, you know, add what was on the next slide.
So for these, there are you're going to hand these out with color changing UV detector stickers. These are right. The stickers. So they put this on and it changes color when it's time to reapply sunblock. I think they're so cool.
Yeah. So, and I found these little like mini sunscreens too. So yeah, really cool.
Love those too.
These change color when there's too many UV rays touching your body. So mm-hmm. I thought that was really cute.
It's a great thing to give out, both of these things together for skin cancer. Is it sun? What's it called? Skin cancer?
Awareness. Yeah.
Awareness. So these are great little handouts for that. So love them.
All right. This is a blast from the past. I did this one last year too, but I love this because I find that none of us drink enough water anyways. And because sometimes it's just a little boring. So, you know, National Hydration Day, just mm-hmm. add a little bit of flavor here. Water is life. You add the flavor.
And I still love that. You should be a tagline lady. Water is life. Add flavor. I love it.
I love puns too. But yeah, you know, take one of these out to get buy some water, add your logo, maybe a little ribbon and, you know, secure, or those little like sticky beads that you can just secure this little flavor pack here and just take it out and let people know that you know, want them to stay hydrated. You love them.
Even for the whole, like for the social workers, like maybe there's a group of them in an office, a whole case of water with this little box attached to the top with the big old logo on top could be good too. You know, just definitely. Give them all some hydration.
Yeah. Create a whole hydration station.
Exactly.
There I go again.
I know. That's another one.
A June leaf behind here. So Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, you know, I created this. The only thing I changed was a little forget-me-not flower. I just felt like incorporating it. But you want to take this out and just, you know, let people know that you are aware too and that you can help with this situation as well. And I thought that, you know, we could repurpose some of these because you maybe bought too many of those paper bags and take those out. Cause I really think for brain gains and just keeping the brain active and these would really help. And of course, you know, you have your, kind of more standard, the little silicone bracelets that help you remind you of, you know, the hope there.
Oh, I love this one. Go ahead.
So I wanted to do something for National Lobster Day. I just thought it was funny. And, you know, snappy discharges, call us now and you'll be at home in time for dinner. So, you know, I just thought that was fun, Lisa. Thank you. I just want you guys to take it out and use it.
Yeah, we have to hear
how it goes.
Yes, we have to hear how. I love the snappy discharges because it's all about the facts. Let's get them home in time for dinner. Love it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so, you know, I wanted to theme that up with, you know, maybe some snapped Cheez-Its. I thought that was kind of a cute theme. And then also for the more healthy folks, the Harvest Snap Chips I thought were cool too. And you could just attach those any way you want. You could do lots of different things, but I had to limit it to just these things. And then we don't want to forget our Father's Day. We want to celebrate Father's Day for all the dads out there. And so, you know, just this is just one of those nice little leave behinds that you can just, you know, take out anywhere. And I wanted to give them dads root beer barrels because dads. Yeah. And, you know, I thought, you know, add some keychains, add a little silicone bag, make sure you are a little bag there and just set it up really cute and nice and take it out. I also wanted to do dad jokes like for people that I knew more, you know, that you maybe know better, but I didn't include that.
Maybe next time. Oh, Lisa, you did it. You made it in time with a minute to spare. Great job. Everyone's just loving these handouts. They are chatting about it. Yep. They're great Really great. I hope you guys have enough. You have enough arsenal now to get you through for sure. You won't run out of any ideas or things to hand out. Do we have any questions? I saw that Johanna had asked about the Parkinson's caregiver guide, quick training guide for Parkinson's. I think she's thinking I'm going to take that out with, where did it go? It's May, right? Or April. She's going to probably.
Deatra arrived.
Yep. She's going to take that out with this. I'm quite sure. And that is brilliant, Johanna. I love the way you think. So we do have some quick caregiver training guides. I can't remember if we have Parkinson's, but Valerie has promised to create one. So if we don't, we will. It's a one-sheeter talking about how your caregivers assist people with Parkinson's and how you have shown them and trained them how to do that. So anyway, Valerie, you're going to include that with the slides, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right. Everyone loves all of this. You guys rock. These are amazing. Good idea. Good deal. Thank you. Thank you for the information. You provided a great idea, Lisa. All right. Well, I guess we are done, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for being here. Have a great weekend. See you guys next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.